And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the privilege you have given to us as New Testament saints to come into your presence and to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that your throne is a throne of grace, a place where we can come and experience your grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. A place where we are always welcome because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who sits beside you, Lord, right there beside your throne. We thank you. And Father, we ask you, God, to continue to minister to us, to speak to us through your word, to speak to us by your spirit, to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and we pray that Christ will be glorified as your word comes forth, and that we will be edified. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. Wonderful. So we're doing this series, Cultivating a Prophetic Atmosphere. And today I want to share about the spirit of prophecy. And as I've been meditating on this, it dawned on me that really the church, we have been called to be a prophetic people. The church, we are called that whenever we would meet, that there would be always a prophetic atmosphere. And we are called to be people who should always be able to hear the voice of our Lord. Even if it's not what we want to hear, but at least hear what he has to say to us. So last week we looked at the Old Testament paradigm. And we saw several things. And one of them being that oftentimes when there is worship, that the Spirit of God would move prophetically. We made mention of people like Samuel and the sons of the prophets and others. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And I want to read two verses there. This book, as many of you know, was written by John, the apostle. And it's a book revealing Christ. It's a revelation of Christ. And it has all sorts of interesting things in it. But chapter 19, verse 9 says, then the angel said to me, so the angel is speaking to John. Angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here we see John encountering this angel. And this encounter was so tremendous that for a moment he forgot basic things, such as only God is to be worshipped. This angel's presence was so majestic that John for a moment fell at his feet. And the angel had to stop him from worshipping him. The angel calls himself, I put in your notes, a fellow servant with John. Angels, as many of you know, are sent to serve the Lord. They are sent to minister to the saints. They are sent to accomplish God's purposes in the earth. So they are not to be worshipped, no matter how powerful they appear. They don't deserve worship. Only God deserves worship. And so that's why the angel corrects John and says, worship God. God alone is to be worshipped. So here this great apostle of the Lord, the man who got this great, tremendous prophetic vision that he wrote down, is told that God deserves to be worshipped, and God alone. And as the people of God, and we sang it earlier this morning about ourselves, that the reason we live is to worship him. All the other things are minor, really. They may be necessary, they may be important, but when it comes to what should get all of our allegiance, it's God and God alone. That he alone is to be worshipped. Not our children, not our spouses, not our parents, not our job. Nothing else should even be on the same page as worshiping God. And so, one of the things you know, that as a church, one of our primary functions is to exalt the name of the Lord. And we should always do that without any apology. We should always, there's an idea that is out there that is sometimes, if we don't think about it properly, we can misapply it. Sometimes in our effort to be seeker sensitive, we think we shouldn't worship God. I'm thinking, no, if they come to where the church is, then an unbeliever, somebody who's seeking, should see that worship of God is our priority. And if they're offended, so be it. But they didn't die for us. They didn't suffer for us. And so only God and God alone deserves worship. And as a church of a living God, we should worship him without any bashfulness or shamefulness. And then the angel goes on to say that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. The word in the Greek for testimony there is martyro, which really means to bear witness. That the thing that bears witness to who Christ is a spirit of prophecy. When you and I give a testimony, we should be bearing witness to what God has done in our lives so that God will be glorified. And we are also saying to people, if God did this for me, he will do similar things for you. So whenever there is a prophetic move of God, whenever God's people would hear his voice, there's always something about it that draws us back to Christ. There's always something about it that wants to see Christ and his name, the name of Jesus Christ, being exalted and being magnified. It's not about an individual. It's not about a location. It's about Jesus Christ being magnified. That's our aim. That's our goal. And whenever we would share anything to encourage somebody else, it should be that Christ would experience being magnified. So as we look through some of the stuff from last week, we saw that the young boy Samuel grew up worshiping God. From a child, he was ministering to the Lord. And just to remind us then, parents and grandparents, that your children, they're never too young to learn to worship God. Amen. Don't leave it. Don't let anybody tell you this lie of the devil, that leave them to discover what they want to worship for themselves. That's a lie from the devil. As parents and grandparents, we have a responsibility to train our children, to help them to understand who God is and to realize that God deserves to be worshipped. And so Samuel, as a young boy, learned that. And I believe that out of that, that's what led Samuel into his prophetic ministry. And we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that Samuel actually slept around the ark. He slept in God's presence and he grew up in God's presence. We saw that the sons of the prophets, as they would travel along, that they would come with worship, with tambourine and harp and all sort of stuff as they'd worship God. And that there was a prophetic spirit that was all around them, that so much so that when Saul came into the presence, he prophesied. And later on, when Saul sent soldiers, three different groups, they all prophesied because they came into that prophetic atmosphere. Because when we worship God, God descends. The psalmist David says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God descends and God wants to communicate to his people. So we see that. We see in 2 Kings that the king wanted a prophetic word from Elisha. And Elisha said, bring me a harpist. Bring me a minstrel. And as she played, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. And in Acts chapter 13, as the prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch, as they met to pray and fast, They were ministering to the Lord in Acts chapter 13. And in the midst of that time of worship, the Lord spoke prophetically and said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Paul to the work to which I've called them." So God wants to move by His Spirit. God wants a people who will hear His voice and will declare what He has to say. And our motive in all of this should be love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, verse 1, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the church may be edified." So Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church. And he's saying to them, one, you need to follow the way of love. Chapter 13 was all about love. And love should be your motivating factor in wanting to share God's word, whether it be with the church or with the unsaved. It should be from that heart of love. Love for God and love for people. It should not be so that we can look good. It should not be so that, you know, they would give us a pat on the back. It should be because of our love for the Lord. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we can do all sort of stuff. We can pray in tongues and all sort of stuff without love, and we just become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says you can prophesy, you can have all knowledge, and it profits you nothing without love. So love should be your motivating factor. And it's not a matter then of love or the gifts. Rather, it's love and the gifts. That love should motivate us to seek the gifts. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts are given for the benefit of the body, for others." God has so arranged His church that it functions like a body, where my hand needs my feet for my hand to get to the things it needs to hold. If my feet decide it's not going to move, my hand can't fulfill all of the things that the hand is supposed to fulfill. My hand needs to function so I can wash my face. If it doesn't, my face is going to have a hard time staying clean. And so that's how God has arranged the body. And so the gifts are given to the body so that others in the body can benefit. So when you are, or I, keep ourselves quiet, keep ourselves to ourselves, means that somebody else in the body doesn't benefit the way in which God wants them to benefit. And Paul lists several gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, things such as healing, miracles. If I am sick, then I need for others to be able to pray for me so that I can get the healing that God has for me. And so the gifts are not necessarily always something you speak from a podium, but it's for the body to function and to be able to minister to each other. That's how God has arranged things. What Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. He highlights this gift above the others, and he explains why he compares it with tongues. He says, because it edifies the church. So the church needs the gift of prophecy to function. In other words, it needs all of us to function prophetically. A scripture which most of us know, John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice," and I put there in bracket all thoughts, because many times the way God speaks, it comes to us as thoughts. It's not some great mystery, it comes to us as thoughts. And it's for you and I, as we study God's word, to realize, oh, that thought is consistent with God's word, perhaps it's something that God wants me to share. And so if you are a Christian, if you are his sheep, he didn't say you may hear his voice. He didn't say you might hear his voice. Jesus said it clearly, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. So if you are a sheep of God, then you should be hearing God's voice. Now we can train you, we can help you to discern it, but there must come a point where you're hearing God's voice for yourself as part of the distinction of the new covenant. That God said they will know me for themselves. Nobody would need to teach them anything because my spirit is going to live in them and they will know me for themselves. And so we are called to be people who hear God's voice and move in obedience. Move in some way to respond to whatever he says. And I put here then that training may help us in discerning God's voice. Acts chapter 21. I've been meditating on this scripture for a while. Acts chapter 21. And I'm going to start at verse 6. Acts 21. This is, Luke is recording what was happening with Paul. Acts 21 verse 6, it says, after saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Polemas, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, he reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. I've been meditating on that for a while. So the writer here of Acts, who's Luke, he wants his readers to know that there's this man named Philip. This is not one of the apostles, because he made sure to highlight that. He says, no, this is Philip, who's the evangelist, who was one of the seven that were set apart to serve the church in Acts chapter 6, when the apostles said, it's too much work, and some of the widows are being overlooked. We need seven men to be given this task. And they said, one of the criteria is that they should be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit to be able to serve widows. And I thought to myself, wow, modern day church, we have really lowered the standard. You know, because I've been to churches where you have all sort of people functioning as deacons, all sort of positions, and they're not filled with the Spirit. They wouldn't qualify in the New Testament church to even serve the widows. So they says, choose some men who are filled with the Spirit, and they chose Stephen and Philip and some others. And we know what Stephen was like because chapter 7 of Acts tells us that Stephen was used by God to do all sort of miracles. And then now you have this man, Philip. This is the one who went down to Samaria when there was persecution, and out of his preaching, revival broke loose in Samaria. This is the man who was serving the widows. So they call him Philip the Evangelist, and Luke says one of the seven. And this man had four daughters who were, the actual wording is that who were prophetesses. They prophesied. Four daughters. Think about that. Many of us excuse ourselves saying, well, you don't understand my children. That's why. You don't understand why they're not walking with the Lord as they should. And we make all sorts of reasons we give ourselves. And then I read about this man who was an evangelist who raised seven girls, and they're not just saved, but they're filled with the Spirit. And they're prophetic. The community knows that these girls are prophetic and they've kept themselves pure. You want a vision for your family? Here's a vision for your family. Amen. Amen. You might not like the Old Testament vision of people like Joshua who said, as for me and my family, my household, we'll serve the Lord. Maybe you don't like that one. But here's a New Testament one where we can raise our children in the things of the Spirit. Help them to discern the voice of God. To be able to speak God's word. We've got to lift our vision higher. We've got to lift our vision higher. We need to stop settling for what we see all around us as if what we see around us is what is supposed to be normal. No, what we see around us is very subnormal. the normal thing is that within the church, there should be a people of God who are hearing God's voice, who function prophetically. It becomes natural and easier then for your children to be raised in that atmosphere to know God's voice. Miss Rusty, can you get your son for me, please? Is that Brody, right? Yeah, please have him come in here, please. You understand what I'm saying, church? Can you imagine Philip's house? Do you think Philip was waiting on the church to be the right type of church for his girls to learn to prophesy? I believe Philip taught his children to hear God's voice. I believe Philip took time to help them to discern the leading of the Lord and to understand how the Spirit of God functions. It's not coincidence, and we all know that. His children just didn't, by osmosis, just become prophetic. It didn't work like that. He must have taken time between himself and his wife to the voice of the Lord. You want to know why you're here? You're a bit confused. I asked her to bring you here. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing. As I was preparing this week, I felt the Lord say to bring this book and give to you. It's called More Than a Carpenter. And I felt the Lord saying that you're special. You're unique. Despite the fact that people can't tell you the difference between you and your brother, the Lord knows you differently. And the Lord is calling you into that secret place. He's calling to be a young man who hears his voice and sees the things that he's doing and be able to flow with his Spirit. Anybody else in this church have a word for this young man? Let's just wait on the Lord for a word for him. She said, mighty man of valor. I'm repeating it because the recording won't hear it when she doesn't speak through a mic. Anybody else? I need you to speak into the mic so that afterwards you can listen to the recording and be able to write down what is said. These are important moments that can change the destiny of a person's life.
Yes, don't believe everything that you see. Things are not always as they seem.
Amen. Anybody else?
The Lord has anointed your feet to walk and spread his word.
I said originally for you to be true to yourself. Shakespeare said that, to thine own self be true. And because that's the only one person that you have to be true to is yourself. You're going to wind up with a lot of influences in your life. Good ones and bad ones. The bad ones will appear to be fun and exciting. And at the time, they are. But in the long run, no. That's why I say be true to yourself. You can do it. You've been doing it for thousands of years.
I just felt like the Lord was just saying that to enter into the prophetic flow, a way to, I don't want to say stimulate, but to come into that flow is to speak a lot in tongues. It edifies your spirit. And so then you begin to hear the voice of God because you're already praying his will and he leads you then. So like when you're just doing something that's mindless, you could just be speaking in tongues under your voice, you know, and it will help you to come into what God wants.
I'm hearing the words strength and shield. You're going to be strength for your family and your church family.
Stay the course. You will have lots of opportunities that you face to choose one way or the other, and you need to stop and make sure you choose the right path because it's going to be really easy to go the other one. So stay the course and look to God because he is the only one who's going to guide your steps in the right path.
I feel there's a lie that the enemy has fed to you through the years. I see a cake cut in pieces and this small piece that you can look at and say, ah, that must be mine, but is it really enough? Is it really as much as other people have? And you're looking at that slice of cake, and the enemy has fed you this lie that there is never enough and you're never enough. I really felt the Lord say that that's a lie that you need to reject, that in him you will always be enough and you'll always have enough.
Before you were born, Joe had taught a sermon about the importance. I think it's funny that he gave you a book called More Than a Carpenter. The word Brody means builder. And his middle name is Elijah. And that is Yahweh is my God. And I think you have spent a lot of your life feeling like you know that you're a little bit different than other people. And I think that God has shown you that because you're going to be the first to do a lot of things. And where it seems like everybody is going one direction, you're going to find yourself walking the other direction and not to doubt that. And I just want to talk about how I see how good your heart is. Ever since he was a little boy, he would be the first to walk up to somebody. And if they were sick, he would just go and lay hands on them and pray for them. I mean, when he was little, and he would just instantly just walk up and say, I want to pray for you. And he would pray for them. And I was always really proud of that. And like this past week, whenever I said I was, or last week, whenever I said I was really down in the dumps and I had a really rotten attitude, he picked up on that. We have 7 children. So, you know, everybody can be like, oh, mom's kind of in a mood, you know. But Brody came up to me and he was like, are you okay? And I said, I'm just having a really tough time. And we were walking into the house and Brody went over to my prayer corner and he sat down and he prayed and he sat there for 20 minutes praying for me. Everybody else is, but Brody sat down and he set aside time to lift me up. And it was just like, you look at him and you're just like, thank you for walking that different direction. And thank you for being the first. And thank you for not holding back for that.
Let's just stretch your hands towards him. Father, we thank you for this young man. Lord, we thank you for your son. We thank you for Brody. Lord, we thank you that you, even before he was in the womb, you called him. Lord, you set him apart. Lord, you made him different, that he's special in your eyes. And Lord, we thank you for the plans and the purposes you have for his life. And Father, this morning we decree and declare that no weapon formed against this young man shall prosper. And Lord, we silence every accusing tongue, every lying tongue of the devil who would come to tell him lies about who he is. Lord, we affirm that he's a child of God, made in the image and likeness of the Father. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for the call you have upon his life. Lord, we thank you for the heart that you have given to him, Lord, a heart of compassion, a heart to intercede, a heart to stand in the gap. And Lord, we pray, oh God, that he would be able to hear your voice even more clearly than ever before. Lord, we thank you for leading and directing him, oh God, to accomplish your will and your purposes. Lord, we thank you for your blessings that surround him, oh God. And Lord, we thank you, mighty God, that he is pleasing in your eyes. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. Brody, wait a second.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Amen. Amen. You can go back now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's share a couple more scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 18 and 19, I think. Jeremiah 23. The Lord is speaking about those who just like to say things, but they're not really speaking from the Lord. So I'm going to read from verse 16 of Jeremiah 23. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They tell you signs not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their heart, no harm will come to you. It's like us telling an unsafe person, oh, you're fine. Things are okay. No, you're not fine. You're on slippery ground. And if you don't repent, you're going to end up in a very bad place. Verse 18. Well, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord? So this is what is important. The true prophet will stand in the counsel of the Lord. It says, which of them stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? And so the key for you, for me, is to stand in God's presence. The key for you and for me is to spend time in God's presence. It's to be a people of his presence, a people of his word. Because when we stand in God's presence, this is a question the Lord is asking. We will hear things and he will allow our spiritual eyes to see things. That's why Jesus could say, I only do what I see my Father doing, because he was standing there in the Father's presence. I only say what I hear my Father saying, because he was standing in the Father's presence. And so that's one of the key things that happen as we worship God. His presence comes down, and you and I are able to stand in his presence and to hear what he's saying and to see the things he wants us to see. And so another time we'll talk about discerning the voice of the Lord, but just to see, what I put here is that our senses can be a template to help us to be able to discern God's voice. The things that we see, the things that we hear. The Lord said to Jeremiah earlier in chapter 1, what do you see? And he described a certain part and he says, you have seen correctly. So there's a spiritual dimension to some of the physical things we have as five senses. We can see things spiritually. It'll open our eyes to see, our mind to see things. He'll open our ears to hear things. He causes us sometimes to feel things. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and his team were traveling. They're going around strengthening the churches. But when they came to certain cities, the Holy Spirit would not allow them to go into these cities. They didn't feel the peace of God to go into these cities. And so they didn't. And so sometimes there's a certain feeling that the Lord will give to different ones of us to help us to know what he's saying. So you have the feeling. Some people smell things. They smell different odors. You see? So I just want to encourage us that when we're in the presence of the Lord, to be aware of God will sometimes communicate to us through some of these different avenues. So that we're not just missing what God is trying to say. And I remember, and I share this and perhaps close, I remember several years back when we used to have our divine encounter services. And I remember in one of them, as I was worshiping a particular woman, and I got a vision. I got a picture in my mind. And I saw a child about 8 who was dancing and having fun. And then suddenly a dark cloud just came and just encompassed her. And so I turned to her and said, I just had this picture in my mind, and I shared it with her. And she started to weep and said, when she was 8, just around that age, was when she was abused. She was a nice young child enjoying her life, and then somebody abused her, and that has marred her life ever since. And I was able to pray with her and believe God for her complete healing. But that came because I was in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord allowed me to see this thing. So many times when you're in the presence of the Lord and you see things, don't just discard it. You can never tell. It might be for somebody else in this congregation, somebody else somewhere, that God has shown you a picture because he wants to touch that person's life. A few years ago, when the Day Spring School of Ministry team was here, and we're praying for students up here. One of the students, as I was praying for her, I just saw this word, administration, above her head. And so I said to her, I see the word administration. Does this mean anything to you? This was in March of that year. And she said, no, it doesn't really mean anything to me. So I said, okay, well, just put it up on the shelf there. That was March. I didn't see her again until September when the school of ministry invited me down there to speak. And as I came down the ramp there for the school of ministry, right into the room, she rushed towards me, all excited, and said, Pastor Joe, you'd never believe it. Since May, because I spoke the word in March, since May of that year, they asked her to be the administrator of the school of ministry. And she has been the administrator ever since. All I saw was the word administration. So what I'm saying is that sometimes God will show you something and it might not make a lick of sense. But it's not for you. It's for somebody else. See? And so that's why some of us sometimes are reluctant. You might see something like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not for you. Just share whatever you see, God. Whatever is there you see and you believe that the picture you're getting right here in the presence of the Lord, just share it. And allow the Lord to use it in whatever way he wants to use it to touch the lives of people. And that's just a couple of examples of the way God will speaks to us through, as I said, through pictures, through visions, through hearing. I'm a type of person who I tend to hear things more than I see. But the Lord will stretch me from time to time to hear him, to receive his word in different ways. But again, going back to Jeremiah, it says, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Elijah said to Ahab, I stand in the presence of the Lord. And when you're standing in God's presence, spending time worshiping him, magnifying him, praising his name, you will hear his voice. He will show you things which are usually for the benefit of others. He'll tell you things about your own life. So I encourage you in your own personal time as you spend time with the Lord to write down whatever the Lord shows you. Whatever he brings to your mind, just write it down. You never can tell what that little word might mean to you down the road or to somebody else down the road. And I believe that's part of the way in which Philip might have raised his daughters to become prophetic. So I put here in the notes, and this is the last, like a preacher, this is the last thing I'll share. That's a term I used to use back in the days of John Wimber. Dial down our spirits, quiet ourselves to be able to hear God's voice. Sometimes we're so active doing all sort of stuff, we just need to just quiet ourselves down and allow his voice the thoughts or whatever it is to come to our mind. And the example I have of this is what the Lord showed me in terms of my own daughter several years ago in one of these tornado times when the sirens were going off. She was at home. We went down into our basement, which should be relatively safe. But she was concerned. She was still in school. She was concerned about her friends. That here the sirens going off, and what's going to happen to them? And so the Spirit of the Lord prompted me, saying, this is a teachable moment. So I said to Lydia, Lydia, just calm yourself down. Just quiet yourself down. Just quiet yourself down in the presence of the Lord. And when she did it, I said, okay, tell me now, what do you sense? What do you sense is going to happen? I said, Daddy, I sense it's going to be all right. It's going to be peaceful. And of course, it was all right and nothing happened. And that was my way of trying to help her to discern in God's voice in times when you need to be able to sense what is God really saying. Rather than responding in panic and anxiety, just dial yourself down and say, Lord, what are you really saying? How do you want me to respond in this circumstance? So over the years, our daughter, Caroline and I, our daughter Lydia's reached that point now where she is able to discern God's voice for herself. So much so, I think this was in June, a couple months ago, she texts me one in the yard is branches from trees and stuff that must have come from the neighbors. And I'm like, what? When I check it out, she thought I already knew. There were tornadoes passing through Kansas City, came close enough to destroy all sort of people's trees, and she slept through the night. Not a fear, not a concern whatsoever, because she had learned how to dial down and sense God's presence. So she just went to bed and slept through most of it. So what I'm saying, friends, is that you and I, as the people of God, one, we need to learn to be able to discern God's voice. And I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come on back. You and I, we need to learn to discern God's voice. And we need to train our children to hear God's voice. Train them not only in the word, they need to be trained in the word. First Timothy tells us that from a child he knew the sacred scriptures. They need to be trained in the word, but they need to be trained then also to be able to sense and to hear what God is saying to them. It will save them a lot of problems and a lot of trouble. When they become more sensitive to the spirit, there are certain situations where, this is going back to the feeling, spiritual sensing, where in certain situations they'll just feel so uncomfortable that they'll know that the Spirit of the Lord is saying, leave, move from here, get away from here right now. And it will save them a lot of problems and a lot of issues in life. And so we are called to be prophetic people. We are called to cultivate a prophetic atmosphere, not only in the church, but in our homes. And personally, to walk with a prophetic, to be aware then of God's presence all around us. To practice the presence of the Lord. To be always asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you saying? To be so in tune with the Lord that he can prompt us at any moment. You're there at Walmart, perhaps with a cashier, and you can prompt at any moment to say what God wants to have said to that person because you're in tune with the Spirit of God. You're in tune. And so as the prophetic words came earlier, you're not just sure what to say to your unsaved family members. Don't worry about it. Just be in tune with the Spirit of God, and at the right time, he'll tell you what to say. At the right time, you'll see the opportunity. You'll see the door open because you're in tune with the Spirit of God and you're starting to function as a prophetic person.
Amen.
We're called to function and live and to be led by the Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit, the Bible says, Romans 8, they are the children of God. Let's stand. I want to pray for us as we close that God will cause us, each of us, to hear him more clearly and to see the things he wants us to see more clearly so that we can communicate his heart more accurately to the people around us. So let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be a people of the Spirit. That we thank you that you have called us to be filled to the overflow with your Spirit. That we thank you, God, that you have called us to be people who stand in the very counsel of God, who stand in the presence of God, who comes boldly before your throne of grace. That we thank you have called us to be people of your word. And so, Father, this morning I pray for each one of us that, Lord, as we walk with you daily, that, Lord, you might cause us to see what you want us to have seen more clearly. Help us to see more clearly, more accurately into the spiritual dimension. Help us to hear your voice, O God, more clearly in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to sense your presence even more richly, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you might open up our dreams and our visions, O God, so that we might enter into the spiritual dimension through our dreams and our visions, O God. Help us to truly be the people that it was prophesied about in Joel 2, O God. And Lord, not only would we prophesy, but Lord, we'd see dreams and we'd have visions in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be that prophetic people, O God, that you can use, that you can lead, so that the lives of others would be impacted and people will be brought into the kingdom and people will be set free. So mighty God, we say, do whatever you need to do in us, O Father. Draw us closer to yourself and help us, mighty God, with your grace to be obedient to you. Lord said, and amen. Wait, John. Friend to us. Lord, indeed, you are our God and our King. Father, indeed, Lord, we were made to worship you. And so, Father, I pray you might help us to indeed be people who enjoy the presence of our God. Lord, may we be people who delight to come into your presence. Lord, may our confession be the same confession of David, that one thing we desire and that we'll seek after is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in your presence. Father, as we'd spend time in your presence, Lord, and as we'd interact with people, may they sense your joy, may they sense your peace, may they sense your love flowing through us. And may they want to know the God whom we serve. So Lord, we give you thanks for your presence among us this day. And Lord, I pray that your blessings would continue to surround us and continue to follow us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.